Landmark's a church that believes that when God wants to have his way, we're going to step back and just do that. Let God have his way. The Word of God says that he inhabits the praises of his people. And so the reason you feel what you feel in this house here tonight is because of what we've already done. I'm a firm believer in the preparing the altar, preparing the church, preparing the pulpit for the ministry. And in doing what we have already done, his presence has invaded this place. If we could see with spiritual eyes, we would begin to see angels of overcoming power and authority. It was once spoken in this place by a great man of God. He stood here and he said, I can see angels that stand so tall in this house that they have to crouch over. I can see angels standing in this place hovering over individuals in this house that are so tall and so mighty and so strong that they have to crouch over to be able to fit in this house. The Word of God is true. The Word of God is a promise. My God never breaks a promise. And so when he says he inhabits the praises of his people, guess what? He's living here. His presence is here. And where the presence of God is, anything's possible. You believe it? Amen. Well, I promise not to be too long-winded here tonight. I do want to go straight into the Word of God, and I did not turn these into Brother Jay, so my apologies to that. But 2 Kings chapter 13, we're going to be reading verses 14 through 19. I've been feeling the burden here lately to speak on a subject basically about direction, about being exact and understanding why we do what we do, why we walk the way we walk, why we talk the way we talk, but yet also guarding our future. I had about three messages today that I was working on, and I just could not understand or rather see which one I needed or God was desiring to basically for me to speak on. But just before the service, this one right here, the Lord spoke on, and God's already verified it with the songs, so I'm looking forward to seeing what God's going to do. Now, Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. Now let's slow down right here and look at what's happening. I want us to see it, visualize it, not just read it, but rather feel possibly what was going on in that room at that very moment. Elisha, such a mighty and powerful man of God, performed so many works with the anointing of God that was placed upon his life. Elisha laying there basically on his deathbed. The Bible says that he had the sickness that eventually killed him. Elisha placed his hands upon the king's hands. Maybe one of the last things that happened. Very next scripture. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of the deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek, till thou hast consumed them. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. Basically, hit the ground with them. He smote thrice and stayed. He stopped. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten five or six times, then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. These few passages of Scripture show us what all of us already know, and that is this: actions demand results. An opportunity Elisha had given this man. An opportunity to be an overcomer. An opportunity to never worry about defeat? How many here would like to live the rest of your life knowing that, hey, I'm never gonna fail at anything anymore. I'm never gonna be consumed anymore. I'm never gonna be destroyed anymore. I'm just gonna walk through life hunky dory. How many would like? I know I would. Sorry, I'm the only person in here that runs through problems every now and then or suffers a little bit. All of you other people, pray for me because I appreciate it. What an opportunity. What a chance. Actions demand results. And in this case, limited action gave limited results. When I read this, I thought of something interesting. I wonder if the reason he didn't want to strike the ground with the arrow several times was because he was afraid they may break. And his faith for victory was in the arrow and not in the Lord. It spent money. It spent time. It spent dedication. He had learned how to shoot that bow. He had learned how to sharpen them arrows just right. They were the best arrows made. They were the strongest. They were the most durable. They had won battles countless times. And now you're telling me to hit them on the ground? These things could break. You don't get these at Walmart. You got to go all the way to Gander Mountain to get these arrows. I wonder. Sometimes I do wonder if he was very nervous that they were going to break. Many times we lean on our own ability when our deliverance is not in us. Here's revelation. You ready for this? Our deliverance is not in our own ability, but yet it's in God. I want to preach for just the next few minutes. Break those arrows. Break those arrows. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now and ask God to touch. Holy Ghost, we thank you, dear Lord, for your presence that's here once again. For your mercy, oh God, that's here in this place once again. God, I'm asking you, Lord, to speak to your people like you have done countless times, dear Jesus. Help us to understand, dear Lord, that our deliverance is in you, that our victory is in you, that our hope is in you, oh God. Lord, I'm believing you right now, dear Jesus, for your voice to be heard, dear Lord, in this place here tonight. From the youngest to the oldest, dear God, I'm asking you, Jesus, to let your voice resonate through this house, dear God. Anoint my lips of clay, dear Jesus, so that I can speak to your people, oh God. And it's in your mighty and wonderful name we pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody with a triumphant voice, shout amen. You may be seated. 2 Corinthians 10 and 4 says this. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Carnal defined as relating to physical, so I can say the weapons of our warfare are not physical, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. I want to share with Landmark the challenge that I felt just 3 days ago when reading this passage. And I pray to God that I can share it the way that I still feel it today. The arrow stands for pinpoint direction. The speed, the strength, and the distance in which an arrow can go depends strongly upon the weight or burden pulled to eventually propel it. I'm going to repeat that. The arrow stands for pinpoint direction. The speed, the strength, and the distance in which an arrow can fly depends strongly and solely upon the weight or the burden that is pulled. If you have a deep burden, if you have a deep hunger and a heart after seeing miracles, signs, and wonders take place, then the burden will allow you to pull back that bow. It'll allow you to be able to pull back all of the adversary and be able to put it behind you to where you can propel forward faster than ever before and reach distances that you never thought you could reach. If the burden is light, the shot will be weak. When I was praying the other day about the youth department, I was asking God, what can I do to see the revival we need to see? And the Lord began to speak and say, enhance your burden. Enhance your burden. I don't know about you, but every time I walk into the new sanctuary over here and I step up to the second floor and I look at the youth sanctuary, young people, and I see the little commons area that we're going to be, but then I step in and I see that youth sanctuary that can accommodate about 150 young people. I realize that there's not 150 young people that are in this room right now. I realize that there's not 150 young people that come to our youth rallies, but I also realize that there's more than 150 young people that are out there in Lexington. I also realize that there's more than 150 young people that are out there in the schools, and I understand that we can do it and that God is going to make a way. I have got to have a deeper burden and a deeper hunger than ever before, because if my burden doesn't change and my love doesn't change for it, then we'll be in the same predicament. We'll be in the same area. We'll be in the same numbers that we are right now. But I believe God for the revival that He's going to send. And I believe God for the life-changing ability that He's going to send and touch young people all across the city. Just before Elisha told the king to shoot the arrow, he placed his hand on the king's hand and the other on the bow. In order for overcoming power or victory and revival to take place in your area, the pastor has got to be free to give you direction. The pastor's got to be free to give you direction. Elisha told him, take up your bow and arrows and open the window eastward and shoot. If we read between the lines, we will notice that somewhere in the midst of picking up the arrows, plural, and shooting the arrow, singular, that one arrow was chosen. One arrow was chosen and one arrow was shot. Because Elisha said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. Just like the king of Israel reached and chose one to create victory, so did the king of kings reach and chose one to cause victory. He chose you. You say, well, I don't know if I'm able. I don't know if I'm capable. I don't know if I can do exactly what God has called me to do. I don't know if I can reach my family. I don't know if I can turn my schools upside down. I don't know. You are the arrow that God has fired for deliverance to happen in your area. You are the chance that God has pulled amongst everybody else and said, this is the person that I'm going to set up and I'm going to give the ability and I'm going to anoint and I'm going to challenge and I'm going to change and we're going to see the revival happen. So don't stand here tonight and think that you're incapable. Don't stand here tonight and allow the enemy to try to tell you that you're not going to make it another day, that you're not going to make it another week, that you're never going to see your family living for God, that you're never, do I need to talk a little more or yell a little louder for somebody to understand what I'm trying to say? God has chosen you to be the deliverance for those that you come in contact with. God has given you more than the ability to stand flat-footed and say, I don't know. God has given you the ability to walk into your area, your schools, your job, wherever it may be, and cause revival. God has given you the ability. God has given you the chance. The amazing thing about an arrow is this. Once it has been fired, it will travel to the destination in which it was aimed and ultimately hit its target unless a foreign object gets in the way. Now, a good friend of mine, I'm not going to say his name, but a good friend of mine, I like to deer hunt, and we've got several other people in here that like to hunt, and he was on a hunt one day and had a deer come in and pulled back his bow and was all prepared and ready to take the shot. Deer got to exactly where it needed to be, and the arrow was fired, and all of a sudden, all you hear was, crack! Deer looks around, just jumps off. Come to find out, after reviewing the video footage, Brother Jeremy, that arrow planted squarely in a tree limb about this big around that was right in front of where this individual was trying to shoot. An arrow will hit its target unless a foreign object gets in the way. You see, an arrow, of course, travels slower than a bullet, which means that even if the path is cleared, when the shot happens, there can still be time for something to step in the way. Every now and then you wonder why you receive a promise from God, and then all of a sudden, somewhere down the road, you hit a bumpy spot. You hit a place where you find yourself having to go a little deeper into prayer. You find yourself having to reach a little further than you've ever reached. You find yourself in a predicament to where you wonder, how am I going to get through this? God said, this is where I'm headed. God said, this is what's going to happen. I prayed about it, and God promised, and I believe it, and I receive it, and I know it's going to happen, but why am I in this predicament right now? Some foreign object was allowed to get in the way. A foreign object was allowed to step in front of the arrow that was fired. Now, I'm the youth pastor, and it's a little easier to talk to young people sometimes. And Brother Alex, I always pick on you, so I'm going to pick on somebody else. I pick on you too, Sebastian. Come on up here, Caleb. That's what they get for sitting on the front row. As a youth pastor, it's a little easier sometimes to talk to young people about it. But all dressed up, looking like a lawyer. God's got great plans for you. You know that. I'm excited to see Brother Ben up there on the platform this morning. I was watching that, Brother Wagner, and tears just flowing down my face because of where God's taking Landmark. Because of a young person that I saw go through trivial times, just as any other young person, then all of a sudden God's using them in a powerful way. You see, God has a plan for you. God has a desire. He has a destination for you to reach. And he's fired you basically as an arrow to hit that target, to reach that destination, just as each and every one of us. But sometimes we allow a foreign object, whether it be a young girl. Stephanie, help me out real quick. I can't pick on Stephanie. High five. Alexis, come here. I can pick on Alexis. I said, Stephanie, help me out. She said, sometimes we allow a foreign object to step in the way. Maybe it's a lack of prayer. Maybe it's a lack of Bible reading. Maybe it's a lack of dedication. Maybe it's a lack of, hey, you know what? Church service going on today, but got this happening over here, so I go to church all the time. I can miss out on this. And that foreign object gets in the way. Step. Now, if he was an arrow and I was, which I wouldn't do it because I'm a youth pastor and we believe in leaving room for the Lord. But that would stop him from reaching his destination. That would stop him from reaching where the Lord has pushed or propelled for him to reach and get to. You see, Landmark is on a track. Landmark has been fired by the Lord, and we are propelling to reach a destination that we have never seen before. Y'all can sit down. Making me nervous. We are headed to places, Landmark, that we have never been before. We're on a course to see a revival that we have never seen before. We have seen souls blessed. We have seen cancers fall off. We have seen people raised from the dead. We have seen countless miracles. We've seen loved ones walk into the house of the Lord. We even had a time where an individual, I believe, had AIDS and went to the doctor after the church prayed. The doctor said, "We have never seen this before. We don't know what's going on, but it's gone." Why would that happen? That would happen because the revival that God has preordained for this church is something that other people and possibly even ourselves, we can't even imagine. But yet, if we can stay on course, if we can stay on track, then we're going to reach that revival. I believe that we're going to pack that building out. That's not going to be a problem. We're going to pack that place out. And then when we get done with that, Brother Jeremy, you know what? We're going right back into work, and we're going to build the next one. We're going to see that building packed out. And the next thing you know, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm excited about getting there. And I'm excited about seeing young people that are standing on the platform, that are going to be praying for other people, that are going to be teaching home Bible studies, that are going to be reaching the lost. I'm excited about seeing the destination that we're going to reach. I'm excited about seeing what God is going to do with each and every one of us. But if we allow something to get in between us and where we're headed with the church, where we're headed with God, then we'll completely miss out on hitting our target. When you begin to pray, when you begin to fast, when you begin to reach out, when you begin to believe God to perform an absolute miracle, you cannot allow the enemy to get in the middle of it and try to lie to you and say, this ain't going to happen. This can never take place. You'll never see that loved one here. You'll never see that sickness disappear. You'll never lay hands on the sick and so and watch it disappear. I'm telling you right now that the enemy has the ability to try sometimes to get in between you and your target. Relationships, carelessness, lack of commitment, laziness. You see, many of us here today have names of individuals that used to come to this church and love the Lord with their whole heart, but then somewhere along the way, a foreign thought came into their mind, a foreign action came into their home, a foreign lifestyle began to thrive, and the shot was missed, and deliverance and victory was stolen. There's more desperate cry today than ever before for someone to beat the arrows till they break. We have seen too many loved ones walk away, and I'm here to serve notice on the enemy that the path is now clear. I preached a message not too long ago along these lines, and we had the leadership of Landmark stand up here, and they held an arrow in their hand, and they began to beat it upon the ground. And I told them, I said, one day here soon, we're going to be breaking ground. One day here soon, we're going to be erecting a building. One day here soon, the walls are going to be placed up. One day here soon, Landmark, we have arrived. I'm here tonight to serve notice on the enemy that the path is now clear, and we are going to make it all the way. We're going to see your families in that house. We're going to see those miracles happen. We're going to see what God has preordained. We're about to shoot an arrow, and it will hit its target. because there are men and women and young people here that are standing guard against sin, worry, fear, doubt, and the world's onslaught of threats. We are getting ready to see the deliverance of the Lord. After the shot was fired, Elisha told the king, he said, take up the arrows, plural, and strike the ground. You see, Elisha saw the remaining arrows as an option. He saw them as an option to the king. And Elisha knew that he only had one shot. Elisha knew that he had taken one shot, and he wanted this to be the shot that counted. So he wanted the king to destroy all the other options. But when the king saw his arrows hitting the ground and bending almost to the breaking point, he said on the third time, okay, that's good enough. That's enough, and he stopped. Landmark, God has given you an arrow. He has given you the direction. He has given you the ability. Make your shot count. And as for worldly options, it's time to beat them till they break. As for options for anything else, it's time to break those arrows. Pray until it breaks. Study the word until it breaks. Fast until it breaks. Give until the enemy's onslaught upon you breaks. Reach until it breaks. Teach until it breaks. Me and my wife pulled up here tonight for service, and we pulled up over there close to the doors of the fellowship hall, and I looked in, and Brother Yance, I saw the class full of newcomers. And it reminded me of years ago when I was teaching the class of newcomers. And here today, I can look in this house, and I can see people that went through that newcomers class. And I can see what God has already done through them. And I can see guests and I can see visitors that were here for the class today. And I'm so excited about seeing what God is going to do through you. I'm excited about seeing where you're going to be 4 years from now, a year from now, tomorrow. I'm excited about seeing what God is going to cause to happen within your home and with your family. Pastor has shot the arrow. Now there's nowhere to go except to victory. From this morning, I've been feeling the burden and the passion to tell someone that the miracle is still on time. I've been feeling the burden to be able to tell somebody, whether it just be one person, I don't even know, it might be more, it might be many, it might just be one, but if it's just one, I want to tell you right now that your miracle is still on time. Many of you may think that, hey, it's off course now, I don't know what I'm going to do to get it back. I tried to take that shot and it seemed like too many things got in the way and it wasn't able to hit the target. The enemy's lying to you and the arrow is still in flight and you're about to make contact with your victory. You're about to make contact with your promise that God has given you. If you would just hold on to the faith, if you would just hold on to the promise, you're going to see exactly what you've been praying for. You're going to see exactly what you've been believing God for. You're going to see exactly the revival that God has promised you. You're going to see it. I just wonder right now if we could all stand and just lift our hands to heaven. It's the devil's business to try to make you think that your promise with God is not on time. It's the devil's big business to try to inform someone here in this place today that it's all done, it's all finished, it's over. I believe right now that we are making the enemy so nervous because of what we're getting ready to do and what we're getting ready to step into. You see, when we step through the doors of that church, it's going to be as though the enemy is going to have to say, well, there it goes. There it went. All that time invested, all that constant attack, all that constant worry, all that constant fear that I had to try to place upon them, all that constant effects that I was just trying to break them down and destroy them. It's done. It's over. They made it. It was told by a person here before, I believe, we even broke ground. They said they had a vision that, and it wasn't even a dream. They weren't sleeping. I believe it was in the middle of the day. But they had a vision that they saw chains wrapped around the church. They were squeezing it tighter and tighter and tighter. And it just about looked like it was about to bust. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a shovel came out of the sky. And when it hit the chain shattered. And it looked like glass. I want someone to receive something that I'm about to say here in this place. Because this whole service, I've been trying to encourage someone. This whole service, I've been trying to encourage someone to say, you know what? I can continue this. I can keep moving. I can keep walking forward. I can keep holding on to my promise. And you know what I'm going to do? When they get here, I'm going to run the aisles with them. I'm going to run the aisles with them. I'm going to shout with them. I'm going to worship with them. I'm going to speak in tongues with them. I'm going to watch them be buried in that wonderful name of Jesus Christ. I've been trying with all of my heart to encourage someone in this place that God is going to do it. But that chain was squeezing the church so hard, and it was putting pressure on people. It was putting pain on people. But then all of a sudden, after it was struck and it broke, we realized that it wasn't as strong as it appeared to be, because it was glass. Landmark, the shovel has already hit the ground. And if you can recognize with me, have you noticed here how, as of late, it seems like the strongholds that have been holding people down, that have been so hard to break, that have been so difficult to break through, you possibly couldn't even speak to them about the church. You possibly couldn't even talk to them about possibly coming back home. You couldn't. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, now they're coming to you. Now they're talking to you. Now they're reaching out to you. Landmark, I'm proud to inform you here today that the enemy's lie is just that, is a lie. And the chains have been broken. And that the miracle is not just on the way, but that we are in the middle of it right now. I said we are in the miracle right now. We are in the revival right now. I want someone to do this. I want you to lift your hands to heaven, and I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to begin to tell God, I thank you for my miracle. God, I thank you, dear Lord, for the promise, dear Jesus, that you're given. God, I thank you, dear Lord, for my loved ones that are coming back home. I thank you, dear Jesus, that you've never forsaken me, oh God, that you've never let me down, dear God. And I'm looking forward, dear Jesus, to seeing what is going to happen here in the near future. I'm looking forward, dear God, to walk in the aisles, dear Jesus, in worship and praise and adoration with this family member. I'm looking forward, oh God, to seeing signs and wonders. I'm looking forward, dear Jesus, to seeing those addictions and those afflictions and that lifestyle and that way they thought they had to live and that way they thought they was always going to be bound to being broken. Come on, somebody, if you got the Holy Ghost, go ahead and let it go. Guests and visitors, go ahead and just let go and let God. Let go and let God.
Praise is what I do when I want to.
Let's turn this place right now into a place of praise.
I lift my hands.
Not just saying, God, I want, but rather saying, God, thank you, you did it.
Praise is who I am.
Let's surround this altar right now. Why don't you find a friend? Why don't you find a family member? Take them by the hand and bring them down. I feel that spirit of encouragement that's here. I feel that spirit of strength. I feel that spirit of excitement that's here right now. Why don't you just tell someone right now before we go into the Lord of Prayer again and when we begin to worship the Lord with this song of praise. Why don't you just tell someone, I'm excited about seeing the miracle that you've been praying for. I'm excited for you. I'm going
to
worship the Lord with you. I'm going
to
praise God with you. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is a mighty God. Our God is a great God.
I vow to pray.
Clap your hands, everybody. My, my, my. Such a sweet presence of the Lord has been here. I feel encouraged in this place. I feel excited. I've been excited, but I feel even more excitement about what God is going to do. I'm excited about the revival that's going to happen. I'm excited about the influx of people that we're going to see. I'm excited about the schools that are going to be turned upside down. Brother Alex, y'all need to hear this, church. I have just been so full of excitement about what God is doing. Alex, how many people did you have in your P7 club last class? A P7 club at school is a Bible-based study group at a school. It's put together by young people here in the church. If I'm not mistaken, we've got some three P7 clubs, if I'm not mistaken, here at the church. And Brother Alex, at his last club, his last time, now this is something that they can just walk around the school and they can invite people. He had 17 people in his Bible study group there at his school. Now try and tell me that God's not causing revival to happen right now. Landmark, we are in for a revival that is an end time revival, and we're in for seeing people that we've never seen before begin to worship God in spirit and in truth. So, with there being the hunger out there, let's find them. And when we find them, don't be ashamed of what you stand for. When you find them, you let them know what's happening here on this hill. You let them know that the presence of God, they can feel it every time the doors are open in this place, because we are unashamed of the name of Jesus Christ. Do you love the Lord? Hallelujah. Well, shake hands. Tell somebody it was good to see them here. Find a friend, somebody you don't know. Take them out to eat. Also, ladies that are interested in going to ladies' conference, there is a meeting that is happening in the fellowship hall. And those of you that want to be in the meeting for Acts Troopers, that is happening right up here, your left, my right, with Brother Jeremy. God bless you. If you also want a red envelope, please see Sister Stephanie, and she'll be glad to get you one of those.